And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
You are now tuned into anything potable, the most honorable, the most audible. Hold the applause, like Paul Pierce when he was fresh out the hospital, like Antoine when he shimmied after shots went through. So tell me why you mad even. Your team gonna be sad leaving after matching up with Brad Stevens. Each season, champion contenders. We drop twice a week like you trying to guard Kemba. Your team whack and your players whacker. I got the inside scoop after hanging up with Jay and Packer. Okay, we about chips here. I'm talking about this year. Banner 12 plus 6 here. Carson Edwards top rookie. I'm seeing it now. Ain't playing around with Tatum and Hayward or Brown. We off the charts, but you gotta play it Marcus Smart. Close out, cause he pulling up from Harvard Yard. Gang green, it's no other way. So tune in to the pod if you plan on staying up to date. You heard? Aziz. Hey, Jay, I see you, man.
Welcome to Anything Is Possible, the Boston Celtics podcast here on the Athletic Podcast Network. I am your host, Sam Jam Packard, professional sports fan. And normally, I am joined by the kid, the god, the legend himself. That's right, Jay King, Celtics beat reporter for The Athletic. But he is recording Basket Buds, and he's watching Brad Stevens and all the media Zooms. So I'm going solo to talk to you guys about the Celtics 122-120 victory over the Detroit Pistons in a little short podcast I'm calling Packard's Corner. Now, the story of tonight's game, I think, has to be seen in context of 2 days ago when the Celtics could not score any points down the stretch. They were scoreless in the final 4 minutes of that first game against the Pistons. In this game, they actually scored points. Most importantly, Jason Tatum made some great plays down the stretch. The biggest shot coming with about 3 seconds left. He knocked down a jumper, basically stepping by Blake Griffin after some nice action in the middle of the court. He also had a very good pass to Jaylen Brown, who knocked down a big three to put the Celtics back up two with about 30 seconds left to play. So the Celtics learned something, a little bit of late game execution. I actually thought they got some decent shots from the in the first game when they lost, but you know what? They were able to knock them down today. But that is the kind of the story of this game. They were able to execute. They did not fall down by 20 at all when they were playing. And turns out that's better. When you don't have to come back from 20, it's very much helpful for them to win basketball games. Now, I think instead of waiting until the end to do the Potable Six-Pack, since I'm here solo, I'm just going to jump into the Potable Six-Pack and talk about the six most important things from tonight's basketball game. And number one has to be the play of downtown Jaylen Brown. I mean, this guy was phenomenal. He scored 31 points, was 13 of 16 from the field, knocked down the big three down the stretch that I mentioned, but he couldn't miss. He was 5 of 8 from deep. He's absolutely in his bag. He's just making shots that I didn't think he was capable of. He's making plays off the dribble that I didn't think he was capable of. He continues to make the jump. I think he absolutely has to be Eastern Conference Player of the Week, since the Celtics are now 3-1 in the last week, and he's shooting something like 80% over those last four games. It's not that high, but he did shoot 81% from the field tonight, and he was basically the main reason the Celtics stayed in this game. This game felt a lot like the game on Friday night, in that the Celtics did not play any defense, and the fact that they gave up 30 points in each quarter is not good. Actually, they only gave up 30 points in the quarters 1, 3, and 4, but it was a impressive offensive performance from the Celtics. The defense still needs work, but Jaylen Brown, especially early on, is one of the major reasons why the Celtics were able to stay in that game. I think the second reason why the offense was so good, and this brings us to number two on the Potable Six-Pack, is Jason Tatum just as a playmaker. Detroit was throwing two bodies at Jason Tatum pretty much any time he touched the basketball, and he made the right play. He ended up with 12 assists tonight, including that big one down the stretch. But anytime they basically threw two players at Jason Tatum, he hit Daniel Tice a lot for the short roll. He made just the right play pretty much every possession. Zero turnovers for Tatum. 12 assists and zero turnovers is just not something, a stat line you would expect to see from Jason Tatum. I think last year his game-high assist was only 5, and so he had 12 in this one. He just kept on making the right passes, and I thought his teammates really did a good job of picking him up, especially Daniel Tice, and then especially Robert Williams when they were in there together. Tice was making great decisions on the short roll. I thought he made a couple of nice passes to Tristan Thompson, as well as just making nice floaters that I didn't really think were as big as part of Tice's game. But I thought Tice had a really good game, which is the number three thing on the Potable Six Pack. Daniel Tice tonight scored 15 points. He was 7 of 8 from the field. A pretty dominant stretch through the third quarter where – and dominant only in Tice words because he got called for a couple fouls there. But in my notes, I basically had 8 different entries, and as Tice was involved, all of them. Tice doing a solid job on the roll, taking a charge, him nice pass to Tristan Thompson. Anytime Tatum drew two, Tice was basically there on a short roll to make a nice play. Even when Tatum missed, Tice was there to kind of have a follow-up jam. I thought just Daniel Tice played a very solid game. There was a lot of talk going into this game about the kind of bad two big lineups when we've seen all the numbers where it has not been good so far this year. It has not been great defensively. That continued tonight. The Celtics, again, not very good on the defensive end of the court. Jeremy Grant pretty much was able to hit any shot that he wanted, especially in the first half. Then Svi, I'm going to say Michalik, I don't know how to pronounce that, but he came in off the bench in the fourth quarter, gave them 15 points. A lot of Pistons players in double figures, but Blake Griffin had 13, Mason Plumlee 13, Josh Jackson, who actually got hurt, had a nice game with 13, Derrick Rose 13 off the bench. It just felt like the Pistons could get a lot of what they wanted. They're not necessarily the best shooting team, but they finished the game shooting 48% from the field, which is actually much worse than they had been shooting in the first half. But the Celtics defense is still struggling. The double bigs offense or defense with Thompson and Tice just doesn't look great. It certainly wasn't good defensively at all in this game, but there weren't really many stretches in this game where the Celtics looked great defensively. They had a pretty solid second quarter, but other than that, there wasn't this. It was a 122-120 game. The Celtics did not get many stops in this game. My main man, the Polish poster, Wahaladi, says Mihaluk. Well, Mihaluk dominated the fourth quarter, and so I appreciate you guys giving me that pronunciation, but the Celtics just did not look very good on the defensive end, except for my main man, Fast PP, who is just known for his defensive ball pressure and I think did a pretty good job. He just brings the intensity when he comes into the game. I believe I've gotten through three of the Potable Six Pack. Four has to be Semi Ojeleye. I mean, Semi Ojeleye gets the most amount of hate on Celtics Twitter. Some would say deservedly so. Not me, not this guy. I think Semi plays pretty solid basketball. He's the next sturdiest guy now that Brad Wanamaker's not on the team. But Semi Ojeleye, at the start of the fourth quarter, made 3 threes, huge threes, because the offense was struggling at that point. And that was kind of a Tatum and the bench lineup that I thought was pretty successful. And Semi, basically, they need a guy who can knock down threes in the corner, and that's what he did in this game. I don't know if he can do it consistently, but it certainly helped them in this game. I think in the last game, we saw Grant Williams, who did not play tonight, miss a kind of huge open quarter three down the stretch, and it was not great. I think that's one of the reasons why the double big lineup's not going to work, is that we're going to see a lot of attention played to Tatum, and the ball's going to swing, and I think the Celtics did a pretty good job of swinging the basketball and moving the basketball tonight. But It's going to find guys in the corner who the other team want to shoot. Semi Ojeleye, Grant Williams are one of those guys. But tonight, Semi Ojeleye knocked down those threes. He finished the game with 11 points and, again, 3 of 6 from deep. The best part of that is he knocks down 2 threes and then takes what I'm calling a Semi heat check, which is he pump fakes, drives, and immediately turns the ball over, which, you know what, once you make 3 threes, you're allowed to do that. Now, a question from the real P. David 88. Do the Celtics play down to the competition? I would say so. I think it's – I don't know. At this point, it's very early on in the season. They certainly have not played well against the Pistons, who were 0-4 coming into the kind of this two-game series. But other than that, the games before that, they've played some pretty strong teams. And so I don't know if you necessarily say they were playing down to the Indiana Pacers. Maybe they did not bring the intensity if they have expect to win. We certainly saw that in the first game against the Pacers and the first game against the Pistons. I thought that certainly they had more of that intensity or more of that focus on the offensive end tonight. But on the defensive end, they just didn't really have any great moments today. And so I'm not really sure what's going on there. And I think the sixth thing, I might have skipped five, but you know what? Who's counting? Certainly not you guys out there in listener land. The sixth thing is Jeff Teague had a ankle injury tonight. He left with an ankle injury. I don't know what exactly the call is or what's going to happen for him moving forward, but that will be a huge loss for the Celtics, who are very, very short on wing depth. And they just can't afford to lose Teague at this point. Teague played 17 minutes tonight, only had 2 points, but I thought he was pretty solid defensively. He has had a number of steals this season, none tonight, but I think he did a pretty solid job. But the Celtics just can't afford to lose pretty much anyone off the wing right now. You already have Peyton Pritchard, who played 28 minutes a game. I don't know who steps into that role. We saw a little bit of Carson Edwards. Maybe we get some Aaron Nesmith. Maybe we get some Tremont Waters. But losing Teague is just not good for the Celtics' depth. It's going to be very interesting to see what they do, especially having to play the Toronto Raptors on a back-to-back tomorrow night. It's going to be fascinating to see kind of what they do with their depth, how intense that ankle injury is. We imagine Teague would miss some time, and it's going to be, I don't know, it's going to be interesting to see who kind of steps up in his absence to kind of figure things out.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
If you guys have any questions or things you want me to talk about right now, go ahead, sound off in the comments. Because we're bringing back my favorite segment. It's called Jam's Junk Drawer. I'm just going to empty out the random notes that I have in my notes column here just to finish out. So anything you guys want to talk about or want me to talk about or any random things you noticed, we can talk about now. We'll start off with the Polish poster coming back again. Grant did not play. Grant, 0 minutes for Grant Williams tonight. He's been very inconsistent, and I think you're going to see that with the kind of the big lineup that the Celtics have. If they're going to go with two bigs, it's going to be Tice and Tristan Thompson. That's just kind of how the talent works out. I think Tice is only one of the fives that can really play the four. when they're not in that two big lineup, when they're not trying to get those kind of five best guys out on the court, I just don't think it makes sense to play Grant at power forward right now. I think he's really struggled this year defensively. He hasn't been that much of a plus on offense. And I just think they're better. And when they're playing kind of four guys around a traditional big, I think we see this when Robert Williams comes in. He's kind of has more room to operate as a role man when he's that traditional big. And I just, Grant Williams is not a kind of a wing as much. I think he's more, he's better used as a small ball five, but so we shall see. I think he might get a bit more of a chance tomorrow when they play the Raptors, who are a little bit of a bigger team and certainly need to give some guys rest. But I think it's going to be hit or miss or Grant if he can't be consistently on defense. He just hasn't been the kind of guy who can switch out and guard smaller guys this year as he was or showed flashes of last year. And so that's my explanation for a Grant DNP, but I'm not exactly sure. Question from April Relmix 98. Why do you think about Tatum's lack of being strong around the rim? The Tice seal is gone now. The Tice seal is gone. And that's a goddamn shame. But I don't necessarily think Tatum's not really strong around the rim. He missed a layup or late, but I thought it was a good look. I don't know. I think Tatum, he's certainly not as adept at finishing around the rim as Jaylen Brown has proven himself to be, but I think he's getting certainly better at it, and I don't really think it's a huge issue. Ben Cooperick, Marcus Smart, he points out Marcus Smart, he asked yay or nay. Marcus Smart did take out his braids. I think it's a good look. I always think the afro is a good look, although I like the braids, but I thought Smart looked good. That was actually the first thing in my notes, because that was the first thing I noticed when playing this basketball game. Another thing I noticed, thanks to my friend Jared Weiss, was that Jerome Allen was wearing SpongeBob socks. That's pretty cool. Jake Eisenberg says, we got a classic, got it, from Mike Gorman. It was a classic. It was not a traditional game winner because Tatum didn't wait to the absolute final seconds, but when the game is tied, I like the Tatum isolation. And so it was a classic win, a good win for the Celtics. I also liked the Tatum block. Blocked Blake Griffin at the final end of the game. The thing that was confusing me tonight about the Celtics broadcast is that they were playing Jeremy Grant, and every single time Mike Gorman called or just said Grant, I got confused with Grant Williams. One thing that I've noticed about this, and I think it's a little bit worse than the games in the bubble, is that it's very clear sometimes that the broadcast team is not in the arena, and there's a lot of times where they just don't know what's going on. And I think Gorman had a couple of those moments tonight where it's just like, I think he just blatantly got the call wrong. And so, but Mike Gorman's a legend, and I won't besmirch his good name. Jahlil Okafor exists. Who knew that was going to happen? He's about 40 pounds slimmer. It's absolutely absurd, but it was nice to see him out there with a little back to the basket play. That was cool. Even though there was fans out there in Detroit, we got some we were able to hear a lot of the yelling from the bench, a lot of Brad talking about good defense. There's this one cool play where you could hear Fast PP and Shemi kind of communicating. I think it led to a Fast PP deflection, but I thought it was just cool to be able to kind of hear exactly what they're doing. Possibly my favorite moment of the game was the Time Lord getting a rebound and immediately trying to throw a touch pass, which led to a turnover, and it was awful. Brad was super pissed off, but it's just hilarious to me, because if you've watched Time Lord for his entire time in the NBA, he hates touching the ball in the backcourt. So many times he has dumb turnovers where he just throws the ball away immediately upon getting it after a rebound. I'm pretty sure he got benched after this because I just didn't see it. No, he got some more time in the at the start of the end of the third and start of the fourth quarter, but it was just absolutely absurd. And it's so weird because he can dribble. He's a really good passer in the front court. I thought he made some nice passes today. Even just on a play where Jason Tatum got fouled, you can sense that Time Lord has a real touch for the game, but it wasn't the best moment for Time Lord, but it was absolutely hilarious. Also in this game, in the first half, we had an ATO that led to a Semi Ojeleye three. not how I thought it was going to be designed, but I'm going with ATO Gelee. And that's about it. That's all the other things that I have in terms of notes. Oh, also, Scal, anytime Sadiq Bey is mentioned, Scal will say that he's NBA ready. I think that's hilarious. It clearly has one thing to say about Sadiq Bey. Sadiq Bey does look NBA ready. Kind of actually hurt the Pistons that he didn't play more in this game because I thought he was great in the first game against the Celtics. But we got a question from Smiley Jogger asking if Detroit is better than their record or should we be concerned. I don't think the Celtics can be concerned. I think the Pistons are a pretty solid team. I didn't see Jeremy Grant playing this well, but I'm a little higher on the Pistons than I think their record would indicate. I think Blake Griffin needs to do a lot more from them. I don't know if he's just resigned to shooting threes at this point. He shot 10 tonight, but I don't know. I think the Pistons aren't that bad. It's very weird early on in the NBA season. If you look at the standings, some teams are really struggling, and I think everyone's trying to kind of figure out what their identity is. Brad said after the game, or I think at practice yesterday, that he's kind of where he expected things to be just because he thought everyone's trying to figure everything out right now. And so who knows? I mean, the Celtics are 4-3, but the Orlando Magic are 4-2. The Cavs are 4-2 and the Hawks are 4-2, while the Bucks are 3-3. And the Raptors, who the Celtics will play tomorrow, are 1-4. And so I don't know. I don't think we can really read much into kind of the matchups of this game, but I think it's going to be interesting moving forward to see how the team adjusts and whether or not they can kind of figure things out on the defensive end. With that being said, I feel like I've run out of things to say. I've been talking nonstop for almost 19 minutes now, but let's wrap it up here. Thank you guys for listening and tuning in. I appreciate everyone who asked a question on joining in on Periscope, and I appreciate everyone who listened out there. We'll finish it out. Celtics win 122-120. Jaylen Brown is absolutely insane and should be Eastern Conference Player of the Week. He drops 31, shooting 81% of the field. Jason Tatum knocks down a game-winning shot with 3 seconds to play. He had 24 points, 12 assists, and 8 rebounds. And that means the Celtics win with a huge game coming against the Toronto Raptors tomorrow. I hate Raptors Twitter, and I love you all for listening. And everyone, thank you for tuning in to this episode of Anything Is Possible!
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.